Thank you very much. So the distinguished representative of Sweden asks what's probably the most difficult question, and that is, how would you verify a ban? And Amandeep asked me to answer a slightly different question, how you would detect misuse. And I think in both senses, there's a direct analogy to the Chemical Weapons Treaty, in that the precursors of chemical weapons are normal industrial chemicals that have many civilian uses. And for that reason, industry participation is essential in the verification regime. And the corporations that manufacture precursor chemicals are asked to keep tabs on their customers, to report large purchases, and so on. I don't know all of the details, but I'm told that this is an essential part of the regime. So one could imagine that, for example, quadcopter manufacturers would be asked to do something similar. And you know, if a small village in Mali suddenly orders 20 million quadcopters, then there might be questions asked. And I think another part of this would be the chip manufacturers, because you would need special purpose chips to implement the algorithms that might be used in such weapons. If weapons were to exist and were misused, I think it would be quite difficult to detect. And I think the reason is that the weapons would be programmable. You'd be able to say, this is the mission definition that we want the system to execute. And the misuse would be a mission that would violate IHL. Now, sure, we could develop software that would attempt to enforce the criteria of IHL. So in that sense, if the weapon was asked to target civilians, the weapon could refuse to do that. But that assumes that the software, those software locks couldn't be overridden. And it seems to me that once you have the weapons in your possession and you're able to program them, it would not be difficult to override those kinds of restrictions. So I think it seems to me probably technically infeasible, once the weapons exist, to constrain their uses to purely IHL compliant applications. And the distinguished representative from Russia asked, if we are so far away from having anything resembling a lethal autonomous weapon, how can we talk about standards? So I want to emphasize that I don't feel, and nor does the AI community feel, that we are a long way away from having autonomous weapons that would be effective. For example, in 2011, the UK Ministry of Defense said that for certain theaters, for example, aerial combat or submarine warfare, that autonomous weapons are feasible now. And that was 6 years ago. That was before the deep learning revolution, before all the advances in self-driving vehicles and so on. And if for example, we're talking about anti-personnel weapons, we already have demonstrations of guns attached to quadcopters that are remotely piloted and used to shoot targets. We have face recognition software. We have a fully autonomous control software for quadcopters that could fly into this room, detect all the people in it, combine that with face recognition. I think it's to produce a crude but effective assassination weapon would be what we would think of as a graduate student project. So this is not a long way away. If you wanted mass production of highly effective lethal autonomous weapons, micro UAVs, for example, if you undertook a Manhattan project-style effort, You know, my colleagues who are roboticists who work on autonomous quadcopters and fly them around buildings and inside buildings and do mapping of university campuses and so on, they estimate about 18 months before you could actually be deploying very large quantities of weapons in the field. So I don't feel we have the luxury of thinking about this as being 10 or 20 or 30 years away.